president wants to raise corporate taxes from 21% to 28%. Democrat Joe Manchin favors a smaller hike. And one key Biden ally in Congress is guessing the current $2.25 trillion White House proposal may be too big to pass. Even without this multi-trillion dollar plan, the U.S. economy is projected to create 16 million jobs over the next decade anyway.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Every one of them wants to raise your taxes. They want to jack up the taxes on American families. They want to jack up the taxes on every small business in America at the exact time that millions of small businesses are hanging on by a thread. They think they can spend your money better than you can. That they have all these big ideas. You look at Joe Biden's supposed infrastructure bill. Over $2 trillion. Do you know how much of that infrastructure goes to building roads and bridges? 5%.
That's even less than the 9% that went to COVID, right? I told you 2020, we'd look back as the good old days. I said, yeah, we're in lockdown, but, you know, it's not day 386 of the lockdown. You know, we were only like day 120 or something, and President Trump was still the president, and we still had hope and optimism that basement boy Biden, there was absolutely no way this guy was ever going to beat Donald Trump, right? Because we saw him come out. We saw how he acted. We knew that he didn't have what it took. We knew there was absolutely nobody that was behind him. There was no excitement. But hey, it's 2021. Here we are. We got a man in the Oval Office who thinks he can invent a 600-mile-an-hour train. We have a Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, who thinks highways are racist. We have Major League Baseball executives that can no longer, read the English language. Did they even read the bill? Oh, yeah, and our next governor might be a grandma-looking transgender. Where have you gone, 2020? Actually, I really, 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 really miss the 1900s. You know, Y2K wasn't a problem that we thought it was going to be, right? Remember 1999 to 2000, everybody getting ready for Y2K? But boy, did it grow into a problem over 20 years. Joe Biden today pitching his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan by saying that he's going to build a 600-mile-an-hour train. Now, I know in California, we're not going to believe politicians when they talk about building trains, but it's not even funded in his infrastructure plan. The technology for such a thing doesn't even exist. Now, is he doing a JFK 1961? By the end of the decade, we'll go to the moon, right? Is Joe Biden thinking we're going to have a 600-mile-an-hour train? This infrastructure thing, you know, 5%, and you heard Senator Ted Cruz here talking about, actually goes to infrastructure. What's infrastructure? Stuff like roads, bridges, ports, less than 5% of that $2.3 trillion actually goes for those kind of things. 0% of the money goes to pay for the things that Biden said will happen if Congress passes his, let's just call it what it is. It's a socialist spending package. Biden said, what we're really doing is raising the bar on what we can imagine. Imagine a world where you and your family can travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas on a high-speed train close to as fast as you can go across the country in a plane. Guys, is this senility? Is it? Is it dementia? I mean, is that what Grandpa Rocket on the Porch says? And one day we're going to have trains that'll go faster than planes. And you go, well, yeah, we might. This is the president at a press conference. Can somebody tell him, Joe, commercial airliners go about 575, 600 miles an hour. Joe, in Japan, the fastest train goes 267 miles an hour. And then he has some plans for an impossible airplane. Listen, he said, and I'm quoting him, I tell the kids, the young people who work for me, tell my kids when I go on college campuses, they're going to see more change in the next 10 years than we've seen in the last 50 years. We're going to talk about commercial aircraft flying at subsonic speeds, supersonic speeds. Which is it? I can walk out to the parking lot and travel at a subsonic speed. Subsonic means slower than the speed of sound. You know, you can ride your bicycle. So I don't know. Which is it, Joe? Which is it? Are we going to go 21,000 miles an hour? You know, so much is changing. Joe's got to lead with it. I did look up the fastest of the fastest airplanes. The SR-71. When I was in high school in Ridgecrest, we were out jogging in the desert for baseball, and that SR-71 came floating down. So silent. We couldn't even believe it. China Lake Naval Weapons Center out there. Well, that thing goes 2,100 miles an hour. An F-16 tops out at over 3,000 miles an hour. So, Joe, that's a lot of speed to make up for. To get to 24,000 miles an hour subsonic passenger jets. This is what the guy's talking about. He's angry. Have you noticed how angry he is? And we'll keep bringing this up, and it's a sad thing to have to bring up. It's a Glenn Campbell side effect. I watched a Glenn Campbell documentary. He had dementia, and he got very frustrated with people, and he got upset, and that's where Joe Biden is at. He's getting angry. I think that's why, even during the campaign, you know, all the audio we played you, anybody has a question that normally a politician, a candidate would answer, right? I'll challenge you to push-ups. You know, he gets mad at people like that and trying to sell us that his whatever $2.3 zillion socialism plan is infrastructure. It's all spin. All spin. Let's listen to this guy. We all remember him, right? The former mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And suddenly he was going to be the first gay president, right?
We talk about roads and bridges, but also airports and ports. We need to make sure that we have broadband. I know that traditionally the internet wasn't considered infrastructure, but infrastructure investment has to include looking to the future. Electric vehicle charging infrastructure is absolutely a core part of how Americans are going to need to get around, and not the distant, far-off future, but right now.
That's the new Secretary of Transportation. And guess what he's saying? Joe Biden's talking about 600-mile-an-hour trains. Our new transportation secretary is saying that highways are racist, so we got to raise taxes. Buttigieg has no experience in transportation whatsoever. You know, he just did all the checkoff marks for the diversity, you know, that they had to have in the Biden White House. Yeah, Buttigieg said in some cities there are overpasses that were built low in black community as well as racially dividing highways. He said, if you're in Washington, I'm told the history of the highway is one that was built at the expense of communities of color. There are stories, and I think Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and New York, where Robert Moses, he's the public official that built all the freeways, bridges, and parks in the New York City area back in the day. I've actually watched documentaries on that. YouTube just keeps feeding me all this weird stuff that I like to watch. But I love to watch how they did all that. I mean, in the 50s, Eisenhower, the freeways that went across America, the growth that America did. We can't even build a high-speed rail now. I think we've lost the ability to actually go out and implement infrastructure projects. But these are all these stories that went around. And if you don't know what Buttigieg is talking about, this Robert Moses guy, he was accused of racism because he built overpasses too low to accommodate buses. And the story got going. It was a mistake, but the story got going since black people didn't own as many cars and relied on public transportation, he was branded a racist. I'm not joking. That's what all that is actually about. And Buttigieg even brought it up. But he says, this just wasn't an act of neglect. It was a conscious choice. You think a guy that's building freeways and on-ramps and everything is actually going to go, you know what? I think black people take buses, and I'm a racist. Let's make the overpasses where buses can't get through. No. Racism, Buttigieg, is an attitude of belief in somebody. They think they're better. It's not a physical structure. It's not in the form of a highway. But highways are racist, and they want to use Biden's infrastructure funds, you know, taxpaying dollars, to fix it. And I don't know what exactly the plan is. Are they going to go and demolish all freeways that go through inner cities and rebuild them in white neighborhoods? Then you know what would happen. Well, look what you're doing to communities of color. You're keeping them isolated. They're having to take all these surface streets. They can't just jump on a freeway like people that are not of color. Well, I would think if now highways are going to be racist, as Pete Buttigieg says, then I guess every time you get on a highway, you're supporting a white supremacy. Every time you go to a Atlanta Falcons game, you're supporting white supremacy. Every time you go to an Atlanta Braves game now in Georgia, I would assume also every time you turned on CNN, you're supporting somebody that's supporting the supporters of white supremacy, because they're in Atlanta, Georgia, aren't they? They are not going to stop with this at all.
President Biden says he's open to compromise when it comes to his $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill, but Republicans seem less sure that compromise is possible. They point to last month's coronavirus relief bill that passed without a single Republican vote. The bill would raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. Republicans and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce say a higher corporate rate could hurt U.S. businesses globally.
Yes, it will. We've already seen what's happened to U.S. businesses. Since Joe Biden has been in, jobs have been lost. Tell me, does anybody have a story? I know we're in the lockdown. I know that, that's what happens when the tsunami keeps rolling in. The last job report was at 744,000 more jobless claims, worse than expected. Don't expect it to get any better as we move ahead. What did Mitch McConnell think about the infrastructure, right? I mean, the buses, you know, the transportation come into this, you know, the bus that you rolled over President Trump in as you threw him under it, right?
The president's concept puts money into highways and traditional commercial needs, but also strengthens the electrical grid and replaces lead pipes. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says roads, bridges, even broadband is acceptable.
Beyond that, they've sort of thrown everything but the kitchen sink into it.
President Biden says that's a debate he will be willing to have with the opposing side. Biden says he won't raise middle-class taxes.
Read his lips. No new taxes. Okay there, JB. We've heard that one before. Speaking of throwing the former president under the bus, Congressman McCarthy.
It just raises taxes, Green New Deal, but it provides more subsidy for electric cars than it does for roads and bridges combined. This is nothing about infrastructure, because if it really was, Republicans would be right there to work with them to put an infrastructure bill that would build America. No, this is about raising taxes.
Oh, it's all about raising taxes. And if only 5% is going into infrastructure, think of the 95%. Guys, listen, we just spent $2 trillion. And now they want to cut. Normally, that's what our budget is for a year. They're spending not even our grandkids' money. Anybody that's still working today, your money when you get a little older. This is crazy. The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Mr. Robert Kaplan, talking about the fossil fuels and all of this. It's all combined together.
Fossil fuels in the years ahead will be a smaller and smaller percentage of U.S. consumption and global consumption, on the one hand. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have substantial demand for fossil fuels. We think we will, and not for just years, but for decades. So we're going to need a strong and healthy fossil fuel industry.
Oh, yeah, but they don't want that. We already know that. Do we not? Sure we do. Pay attention to this. These things matter. And Stacey Abrams' career in Georgia, I think we can say her political career is over. It's now coming out that she actually talked to the commissioner of baseball, told him to get it out of there, while she, in public, was stating, oh no, I don't want the All-Star game to leave Atlanta. We don't want water. We need water in the valley. Oh yeah, Governor Newsom, not going to give us water. We're going to talk to the chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, State Senator Andreas Borges. He'll be coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, according to a report from Fox Business Network, sources inside Major League Baseball are claiming that Commissioner Rob Manfred blindsided all the Major League Baseball owners, at least with the timing of it, is what they're saying. They're saying he spoke with, the election was stolen. I'm really the governor, you know, gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. He talked to her before he decided to move the game. And it's a little head scratcher because, you know, Stacey Abrams, out in the public, You know, she was against the game being taken away from Atlanta. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp slammed Abrams as the biggest flip-flopper since John Kerry. That's right. How did Captain Obvious over at NBC cover this, huh?
The game is now headed west to Denver, and critics point out to a city with a very different demographic. Black people comprise more than half of Atlanta's population. In Denver, it's less than 10%.
It's the unintended consequence of taking a stand. It draws more eyes and attention to the conversation, but the trade-off, what gets lost in the shuffle, are these businesses who are desperate for more revenue.
The pandemic has already taken a disproportionate toll on black businesses. Now, for many, this is another crushing blow.
Facebook is making more changes. But did you know you can actually help control what pops up on your newsfeed?
Nice. Former Major League Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent did an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal slamming the league's decision. I wish he was still a baseball commissioner. He said they politicized baseball over a law that he likely had not examined, the current commissioner. That's why I asked, does Major League Baseball know how to read English? Good for Vincent for speaking out. Terrible mistake made. What's end up happening in the name of, bum, 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 we're going to fight racism. They pulled the All-Star game, as NBC, Captain Obvious, just figured out, mostly minority Atlanta and moved it to mostly white Denver. I wish we could leave skin pigmentation out of everything, but we can. It's 2021. We got to fight racism. In the name of protesting this new Georgia voter ID law, they moved the game to Denver, Colorado, which already has voter ID law. And they did this to protest voter ID law. Maybe we just give them a few years here to just keep doing this, and maybe nobody will ever, ever, never, ever vote Democrat again. Old CNN anchor Jake Tapper, he said he was getting lost in the conversation with the facts of what would have happened if Major League Baseball did not take the action that they did. Well, let's talk about the big elephant in the room. Jake Tapper, CNN, Don Lemon, CNN, Chris Cuomo. I mean, all those guys, right? Aren't you also headquartered in Atlanta? So if CNN won't leave Georgia, will the CNN workers start boycotting their jobs? It makes sense if you're going to follow this logic, right? Sure it does. I mean, if somebody had actually in the media told the truth about this law and actually informed the public rather than, you know, spitting out Jim Crow 2.0, then none of this would have actually happened. So it'd be interesting to see what Don Lemon and Cuomo and Jake Mouthflapper Tapper after you have to say about being actually headquartered in Georgia, right? They're liars, and they can't stop lying. I'm going to quote Thomas Jefferson. He once said, "He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and third time till at length it becomes habitual." Right.
I'll make mistakes as president.
And this commissioner of Major League Baseball believed the lies and supposed, you know, Jim Crow election law. I wonder really what they're talking about right now. I wonder if they're going, oh, no, we didn't expect all of this. Now we're really going to have to back this up. Right? I mean, I hear a lot of the Democrats in Georgia are, quiet, because Senator Marco Rubio said, hey, let's roll with this. The commissioner of Major League Baseball is a membership of the Augusta National Golf Club. I mean, you know, maybe we should demand the Braves move out of Atlanta. You don't want to force other Major League Baseball teams, especially teams that have, you know, any player of color. They got to play like 81 games in that stadium this season. So we'll see how all of this plays itself out. The White House now trying to backtrack, actually saying press secretary, Sakatu Yasaki, said that Joe Biden was not dictating what Major League Baseball should do. He supports him being able to make the decision. He's calling it Jim Crow 2.0. We need water. Only like 60% of the snowpack is up there. That's our savings account. 5% allocation? That's not good. Governor Newsom, though, saying, nah, there's no state of emergency. Water plus food equals national security. Why is that hard for some people to swallow? chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, State Senator Andreas Borges. He'll be coming up next.
The new number to talk to Trevor, 559-230-4242. That's 559-230-4242. The Trevor Carey Show. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You know, this really shouldn't even be a conversation that we're having. It shouldn't even be this difficult. The Valley feeds the world. It feeds our country, our state. It gives our Valley families paycheck. Water is key to our survival as a people, as key as air is. He is the chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, State Senator Andreas Borges. Welcome to the show, sir. Glad you're here.
Trevor, great to be back on the program.
Good to have you here. I can tell you that much. Let's talk about what's going on. We didn't get as much rain. We don't have that snowpack. What is it, like 60% savings account up there on the hills?
Yep, that thereabouts.
And I don't know if you got these figures in front of you. Is that like average? Are we average? Below average? I know, because California, you know, it goes through all these cycles, and nothing should surprise us if we went back and look, because we're going to have, you know, long periods of drought, and then we'll get some rain, and we prepared for that in the 70s, but things have changed. Kind of tell us, Senator, how things have changed in California with water.
Well, I think, you know, if we had a few weeks on this radio program, we could certainly get into those level of details.
Well, it's 4:35. We're on till 6. I'll just run up to In-N-Out Burger, and I'm going to let you talk for an hour and a half.
There we go.
No, you're right. You're right. It's hard to really put it all down, but just kind of tell us where we are right now.
Well, I think it's important that we look at the context in which we find ourselves. We've gone through a little over a year of the COVID experience, and you know, things have been challenging across the board, and it's no secret to anybody who lives in the Valley that we've always had a difficult audience in Sacramento or even Washington to our way of life, especially representing an agriculture community in the Central Valley. But what makes this situation different is that coming off the heels of the COVID experience, where so many things shut down, where we had so many farm workers that were out of work, and we had such disruption in the marketplace, that as other businesses are finding their way and getting their footing back into operations, we are now in encountering another significant dry year, so that when we anticipate that we're going to have another drought, this is just pain upon misery compounded by frustration. So, not to overstate the situation, but this is an existential problem for the industry and the entire related industries in our Central Valley that rely on agriculture. But as the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, I believe it is my responsibility to advocate for our industry, our way of life, and part of that is also keeping abreast of what it means for us to be going through another drought. Now, we're not unaccustomed as Valley folks to go through the ups and downs of environmental change and weather challenges. But what makes this entirely different is that we have submitted a letter to Governor Newsom. I've done it, and I've joined with the Valley delegation, I think with 10 or 12 signatories of Assembly and senators, including the chair of the Assembly Ag Committee, that we wrote a letter to Governor Newsom yesterday, and it says we are requesting that the governor declare a state of emergency. And the purpose of requesting that state of emergency at the state level is that there can be a relaxation of the regulations, the environmental impediments, the administrative impediments that would allow us to deal with this drought and transfer water on an expedited basis because we need it so badly. Well, we submitted that letter to the governor yesterday, and today, you know, of course, the governor parachuted into Fresno County to deal with wildfire-related issues, but he made it clear in response to our letter that he does not believe that we are at that level of emergency. And I got to tell you, Trevor, I take absolute exception to that type of message. And let me tell you why, and not just for the reasons that you would think, but the U.S. Agriculture Secretary, Tom Vilsack in Washington, D.C., a President Biden appointee, issued a letter to Governor Newsom just a couple of weeks ago. And in it, he declared that over 50 counties in California are natural disasters because of the drought. So, Trevor, when you have the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture sending a letter to the governor of the state of California saying you are in a state of natural disaster because of drought, and the governor says we're not at that point yet, we've got a major, major problem on our hands.
Well, you're stressing how water and food security is a real key component of our national security, and that truly is. This will be a problem for anybody that actually likes to eat. Is there anybody that's in that category? I don't think so. So this affects us all. You're talking about you're trying to get the governor with your bipartisan group of 10 that have come together, Valley representatives up and down here, the relaxation of environmental rules. Now, here in California, I don't know if this is still the numbers, but is it still like 50% of our water goes to environmental, 30% cities, and ag is 10 or something like that? Do you know what that breakdown still is?
I don't know what the breakdown is, only because it depends on what source you consult in how they distinguish between agriculture or multiplier or industrial versus urban. The numbers run the gamut. But by and large, agriculture does not use anywhere near the amount of water that urban usage accounts for. And on top of that, the amount of water that goes back out into the ocean for a variety of environmental regulations and expectations is so significant that many of our problems could be remedied by disallowing that loss of water from our state in our sourcing.
So we can remedy those problems if we didn't have all that environmental water going out to the sea. Are we still at 50%? Is half of it going to the environment, to environmental needs?
I'm not certain of the exact amount.
How are you going to fight this as the chair of the Senate Ag Committee if you don't even know what percentage is going to environmental needs?
Well, but if you could define environmental needs.
Well, okay, wait, there's a breakdown of how much water goes to ag. I'm not laughing about it. There's a breakdown of how much goes to ag, how much goes to the environment. That's the problem. If you're saying that we're actually going to try and get a relaxation of environmental rules, you've already talked about it. How much of our water then is going to them? I guess we'll find that out later. We do know March 23rd that they said 5% allocation. In December, they said 10%. What made the 5% cut there, do you think?
Well, I think it dropped from 10% to 5%, and what we know now at the federal level, it's zero. It's a stagnation. But to get to your question earlier, is that when you talk about environmental, we're not necessarily talking about water that goes into the system that is being used by the natural environment, you know, through fisheries and through the natural habitat. We're talking about environmental regulations, meaning that you can't touch the water because they've accounted for things, whether it be, you know, Delta smelts or salmon, so on and so forth. So, but I think your point is rock solid, Trevor, is that so much of this water is being handcuffed by these regulations and the administrative protocols that our natural usage of it is being disallowed. So when we drop from 10 to 5%, that is a catastrophic change for us. And then when you add in the fact that we're going to be going in, we're already in a drought, and we're going to continue for the next year or two in that situation, it only makes sense that the governor take affirmative action to declare a state of emergency, and he's the only authority that can do that. The legislature cannot do that. Only the governor of the state of California can make that announcement and thereby allow the mechanisms of government to work in our favor under these unique circumstances.
Well, he's shown he doesn't mind taking dictatorial power, does he? He can make that decision. Try and describe to us, Senator Borges, what I mean, because, you know, city people, and believe me, when I say city people's jobs depend on ag in one way or another right here where we live. Describe what a 5% allocation means in terms that we can relate to. I mean, what kind of issues is that going to create right now?
Great question. So I think folks are still quantifying the amount of acreage in farmland that will probably fallow And the situation that we're in right now is that people say, well, why don't you wait for the zenith of the drought before you ask the governor to make this this declaration? That's not the way ag works. If you are a farmer, you have to anticipate what your water allocation is going to be to determine what plants and what trees you're going to plant or fallow in advance. So the idea that you're going to be looking 3 years ahead or 5 years ahead, the decision making is done now. And that is why this notion that you wait until things are catastrophic, the way that Jerry Brown, former Governor Jerry Brown, did in 2014 when he did make that declaration, there had already been 2 or 3 years of consequential drought that absolutely upended the industry. So if we're reasonable, pragmatic, and smart in data and science-driven the way that Governor Newsom has declared his administration to be, the science and the data are indicating right now is the time to make that declaration, because when the U.S. Ag Secretary is making federal emergency loans available right now as of 2 weeks ago, you know you got a problem, Trevor.
Yeah. My guest is Chair of the Senate Ag Committee, State Senator Andreas Borges. We know President Trump came in a few years ago. A lot of Valley delegations were excited. Water was going to be flowing back in. And now it looks like the state of California went back to the old science that they were using that, you know, put so much, as we were talking about, how they environmentally flushed the Delta out. And so much of our water goes there. And the Delta wasn't even designed. It's not natural for it to flow like the way that we do now as humans and rush all this water through, and it goes right out the bay. And of course, we've all been to our smelt fries, you know, big fish fries around here, right? Delta smelt fries, they're a big fish. It's a little, we call them bait fish, don't we? I mean, the smelt, and so much of this has been over that. And when people say, oh, no, it's not, it really is the fish over the farmer. And it's not even stopping now. This is why we're not getting the water that we need, because of all these environmental regulations. And I'm glad you guys are trying to get them to relax some of these environmental needs. But I think, you know, we got 1 million acres of field that's fallowed here. I always say it would be like in a famine if we gave 50% of our food to the bears in Yosemite. You know, in a drought, we're doing, it doesn't make sense. And I'm glad you're fighting it. And you actually got some Democrats together with this. Assemblyman Adam Gray from Modesto is part of this as well. So do you think it will, anybody else, though, around the state? It's Valley politicians doing it now, but do people in L.A. and San Francisco realize that they also eat? You got anybody else helping you?
That is the perennial challenge that we have as representatives from the Valley, is that we don't have the numbers by ourselves to influence Sacramento. We have to build coalitions, because if you look at the population of the state, of course, it's dominated by the coastal regions. The great thing about this letter and the coalition that we've been building is that there are a number of Democrats. You know, Ana Caballero, Senator Ana Caballero. You mentioned Assemblymember Gray and Salas. So it is a bicameral and bipartisan effort, absolutely. But I got to harken back to a point that you were making a moment ago, Trevor. When I graduated law school, I clerked for a federal judge in Fresno named Oliver Wanger. And he was nationally regarded as the water judge. And during that clerkship, which, you know, during that time I was writing the opinions of his court, I was shocked at how the biological opinion interpretations dictate so much policy. And so when former President Trump was in office, there was greater latitude shown and given to the administrators and directors of Interior and in Ag to interpret what it means to have a human impact, meaning that if you deprive us of water, not only do you have to calculate what it means for the salmon and the smelts, but also what is the impact to the humans and the industries that rely upon that. So that was an interesting process that we were able to understand the impact that these policies are having on us. Well, then President Biden apparently is now kind of hearkening back to the Obama era where those environmental biological opinions and interpretations are going to be erring more on the inside of the environment once again. But if that is the case, and that same Secretary of Agriculture is telling us that you are in a state of emergency, that you are a natural disaster, Fresno County and beyond, something needs to be done.
It does.
And we're going to do our absolute best.
I'm glad you are, State Senator Andreas Borges. We'll get you back on. You'll be available next week. Give us an update on this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend there. State Senator Andreas Borges, together with Democrats, Republicans, fighting back on Newsom. He tried to come down here and give the Valley a hug. You remember when he first became governor? Yeah. That's why I don't believe him that June 15th is actually going to get us back in action. More next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Thank you to State Senator Andreas Borges. We'll get an update, like he said, next week on this and see where Governor Newsom, he was in town giving, what, $500 million to fight fires is what's going to be going on. They're going to be hiring, I think, 1,400 additional firefighters. I'm really glad that they are. I mean, we do need more firefighters. And, of course, over the last 12 months, it's been great to see the California Corps up there giving people jobs during the lockdown to clear out the forest floors. We've gotten rid of all that dead timber that's been up there, all the pine needles on the none of that's been done. You can't even get on the access roads to even get back to the fallen PG&E lines. We know what the problem is. It's the overgrowth of the forest. Back to what I was talking about with Senator Borges. These environmental rules in California, that's exactly why. You would think that's what they'd be talking about today. But no, just throw more money at the problem. You know, we got people defecating on freeways. Just throw more money at the problem. Don't actually fix the problem. Just throw more money at the problem. But throwing money at having additional firefighters will definitely help. Creek Fire 3rd, our largest, most destructive here in California, the largest fire in California history. And doesn't that seem like a long time ago during COVID time? That was like September, remember, outside? And I remember saying, I was driving around going, "You're wearing a mask outside?" And then for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, I was like, "You're outside and you don't have a mask on with all this soot in the air?" I made the mistake of coming home with my car and hosing off all the ash and stuff. Wrong thing to do. That sets it in there, all that sediment and the chemicals. You got to do it with soap to get that off. I learned that. So when we move it into fire season again, remember that one as well. This is horrible. Fresno federal police officer arrested. He was a police officer at the VA. He got hired there this year. He worked as a policeman in the Woodlake Police Department. He also worked at Kalinga State Hospital. Adrian Enriquez, 52, of Exeter. He was arrested by the Sheriff's Department. He allegedly had 1,000 images and videos of child porn. The images showed toddlers being raped. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you're proven guilty of this, I'm all for castration. I mean, definitely. And for the individuals that are involved in those videos, they need to go have a little judgment with their maker immediately. I mean, in the death penalty, if you're going to use it for anything, it should be for people that are raping toddlers, even having it on your phone. Well, they searched his home, electronic devices, all that will be examined. Just don't know who you're standing next to, do you? In the lobby at the VA. Oh, thank you, sir. Bathroom. All right. Have a good day. You too. Man. Biden named a new ATF director. And he's a radical. I'll tell you more about the man next.